Okay, so we're just going to jump right into today's topic. We have been going through our culture codes, as we all know. We have talked about making space. We've talked about how we are called. We've talked about how we pursue the kingdom. We've talked about how we value generosity in our community, and that's what we're heading towards. How we intentionally change, which was Val's message to us last week. And today we are talking about we are real. So culture code number 7 is we are real. So just gonna start off being very real with you guys. I wasn't entirely sure throughout this week how to frame this message. I was looking through scripture and I couldn't find a verse that just was like, Jesus was like, hey, just be real. But it's written all throughout his life. And there's not a mo there's in our modern English translations, the Bible doesn't really use the word real or authentic or anything of the sort. So I kind of pulled it. It's kind of conceptual. It's this concept that you see weaved throughout scripture. So we're going to kind of talk about that today. So the phrase we are real, it's more than a phrase, it's a culture code that we want to instill here in our community and also just as Christ followers, as Jesus followers. It's how we choose to show up with God, with each other, and just with ourselves even. We belong to a culture, and that is what we have been talking about for the last, I guess, 7 weeks now. They aren't rules, culture codes, they're not rules, but they're shared commitments and they are shared values that shape how we treat each other and how we show up in this space and how we show up with others outside of the space as well. But we're going to primarily be talking about in this space, in our community, because there's an aspect to being real where it does require trust and relationship in many ways. So when we say we're real, we mean, yeah, I'm going to sit down. Awesome. All right. When we say we are real, we mean that something actually exists. So the definition of real, it's not fake, it's not artificial, it's not imagined, it's real. And the word authentic, because I realized as I was thinking of the word real, I was like, well, I also think of the word authentic. Like I found myself kind of interchanging them, right? Be real, be authentic, be yourself. So authentic is similar to the word real, but it's a little bit different. It goes a little bit of a step further, and it means something is true to its origin, or it's sincere, it's untainted, it hasn't been altered or masked. It is true to its origin. So while real asks the question, does it exist? Is it actually there? Authentic asks the question, is it true to what it was meant to be? So as mentioned, the Bible doesn't use the modern words really, real or authentic. Maybe in some translations, but I didn't find any. But it's weaved throughout the recorded life of Jesus. Jesus was real human. He was fully God and fully man at all at the same time. So we're talking about living lives of truth and sincerity and congruence, where what's happening on the inside of us is matching what we present on the outside. So it's alignment between who we are and how we're living and what we're presenting. It's when we're being real, it means that we are choosing to show up in this place and we're choosing honesty over image. We are choosing our presence over our performance and we're choosing truth over pretending. Just showing up on a Sunday and week was good. But maybe it really wasn't good. We're not choosing perfection. We're not oversharing. I'm not advocating to overshare and trauma dump on the person next to you, if you want to use that word. And I'm not saying that we need to have it all together, but just having honesty, or in other words, just showing up as we actually are, who we actually are, how we actually are. Because pretending may protect your image. But it will always cost you your connection with others. So why do we need this culture? Why is we are real? Why did that end up in our culture codes? We didn't just pick all these culture codes and Ian and Val's living room a few months ago and said, yeah, these sound good. They are things that we really considered. We put a lot of things that we as a team feel we value on a board, and we all individually circled all the ones that we thought were of value, and this one ended up on there because we believe it's really important to be showing up in a real way, in an authentic way, again, in this community, but just as Christ followers. So why do we need this? Because you can be surrounded by people and you can still feel really alone. You can be in rooms and you can still not feel seen or not feel heard or not feel understood. And I don't believe that that's the heart of the Father. So many people will walk into rooms and be like, no one really knows me, or I don't feel seen, or how could they possibly know what I'm going through, or no one relates to me, and feeling very alone. But as I was thinking about this week and diving into it, I realized that, like, what if the reason that people don't really know you is because you've maybe never given them the opportunity to know you? Perhaps. And here's the hard truth. When we choose not to be real with people, we also remove the opportunity for people to fully know us. There's a step that we sometimes need to take to open that door to being fully known. And I believe that that's the heart of the Father, is for us to feel fully known. And there's a few caveats kind of as I go through this. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, like, God is the only one who will truly, fully, deeply know you. But I would like us to make an effort to be fully known in this place. When we're not fully known, or when we don't give ourselves the opportunity for people to fully know us, or when we choose not to be real with the people around us, we can slowly drift into isolation. And I think we all know that isolation is a breeding ground for a lot of things. For things like loneliness, first and foremost, just being lonely, isolated. Things like depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, temptation, and ultimately just lies that start to feel really true. When you're in a space by yourself, there's no one to bounce things off of. And isolation can also kind of feel comfortable. It can kind of start to feel really comfortable, although I would argue that there's a deep yearning in all of us to not feel that way. We're called to be together as Christ followers and as a body, and not apart, which is what Lindsay will be expanding on next week. So when we allow ourselves to be isolated, perhaps because of our choice to not be real with those around us, we ultimately put ourselves at risk of these things, of being lonely, of being sad, of not fully being in an environment or a place where we can thrive. And that's not the heart of the Father. At the very beginning in Genesis 2:18, God says it's not good for man to be alone. Like, right at the beginning. Two pages in, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make a helper that's suitable to him. So he decided right from the beginning that humanity was not designed to live in isolation or to live alone. He could have left Adam to his own, but he recognized that that was not his design. That was not where Adam would thrive. We were not designed to exist in singularity or to exist apart from each other. But God's antidote to man's loneliness was giving him another person who was different from him, but who was with him to help him and to do life with him. So as a body, we do have each other, and we are all very different from each other, but we are with each other. And I believe that that's the heart of the Father for the body of Christ and for our church here. We're here to help each other, do life with each other. But it's also only if we individually decide that this is something we're willing to do and to be real with each other and to show up in that way and to actually say, yeah, I'm going to accept this as a shared commitment and as a shared value. So that's great. That's awesome, Amanda. Show up. Be real. That's really cool. We need each other. But what about, like, the cost of being real? It's not very comfortable. By any means. It sounds really great, but it is gonna often cost something. It's really difficult because honestly, and I've experienced this, and I'm sure if we did a show of hands, there'd be a lot of hands up, is it can be hard because it does open us up to hurt, being real, right? You're being vulnerable, you're being authentic, you're being real, you know, this is who I am. And then sometimes you're met with rejection, or you can be met with just misunderstanding. Like, whoa, 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 that's not what I meant. Like, I'm not doing that bad, but I'm just, you know. Or maybe like mockery or judgment, or honestly, even just people's inability. I felt this at times, people's inability or their like lack of embrace when we do decide to be real. It's like your life is neither better nor worse because of it. You're just like, did I just waste words with you? Did I just open myself up for just nothing? Right? And so then I walk away being like, yeah, that's great. I was real. But like, what did it add? Right? Maybe this person doesn't want to fully know me, even though I gave them an open door to walk through. And honestly, sometimes people just don't know how to respond and can't hold anything against them for that. So why do we value this as a culture code? This risk or this cost of being real and vulnerable and authentic with each other, it kind of causes us to edit ourselves in our relationships, right? So that's when you're showing up and, how was your week? Good. How was your week? Good. Find your seat, sit down, and do it again next week, you know? But that's not the culture that I want here. And I don't think that's the culture that most of us want here. We don't necessarily lie in our relationships, but we just omit information. You know, not lying about how you're doing, but they just don't really need to know that, or doesn't. I'll figure this part of my life out, and then I'll tell them how I figured it out. You know, in John 3, Jesus says that this is the NIV version, but if you want to turn with me there, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Scripture calls us to live in the light, to live in truth, to live in sincerity, to live in genuineness. And this verse is talking about people who really just, like, I don't want my bad deeds to be exposed. But it points us to something where it's really easy. There's something in our human nature, even Adam and Eve hiding in the garden from God, right? There's something that's like, we just want to hide. Just don't want to be seen fully. I don't want to be fully known, because what if there's not a full embrace? Like, what will that cost me for my image? But as previously mentioned, it costs us connection, and that's something that we deeply, deeply need. It's something that you could run from, and you could go your whole life thinking you don't need connection, but you're wrong. You do need connection. And I think that we thrive in areas where, when we're connected to each other, it gives us an opportunity to thrive and to see who God really made us to be. Even if you're an introvert, you need people. We avoid the light, or we avoid being fully known and fully seen, because exposure and vulnerability can feel really painful and really scary. And I'm sure some of us have been hurt by that. But exposure is often the doorway to freedom in our lives and thriving in our lives. So I'm not advertising, for one, to go share your dirty laundry with everyone and their dog. That's not what I'm saying. But there are a lot of parts of our life that are painful and intimate and confusing, and you do need to use wisdom with who you're seeking out counsel from and make sure they're trusted people who can walk with you. So I'm not saying that if you're not posting it on Facebook that you're not being real by any means, but you don't just want to, you know, share these super intimate parts of your life with some guy down the street because you don't have a relationship with him. You don't know him. You don't trust him. But within this community, we are trying to foster a community of relationship, of trust, of vulnerability, and of embrace. Which kind of leads me to my next point. So have you ever wondered why Jesus transformed the lives of everyone he encountered? It's a very broad question. I'm sure you have wondered that at some point. There's probably a lot of reasons. He was holy, for one. He was God. He was powerful. He spoke with truth. There were a lot of things about Jesus. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he was just very real. I imagine Jesus being a pretty down-to-earth guy. I really do. Literally came down to earth. So that's not written down. That just popped in here. I was like, probably was a pretty down-to-earth guy. It's not in my notes. Should get into comedy. Just kidding. That was a good one. Anyways, sorry. Jesus was not afraid of people's messes, is what I'm trying to say. He wasn't uncomfortable with their questions. He didn't meet their questions with fear. Like, oh my goodness, how do you not know I'm the Messiah? He was like, well, what do you think? He didn't rush past people's pain or their shame. He often met people right there and sat with them, and they left better and changed for it. He just embraced them. And at Harvest, we want to build this culture of being real, but we also need to build a culture of embrace. I don't think we can value being real without valuing the embrace that has to come after it. If we do not meet realness and authenticity with embrace, then it sends the message that this isn't a safe place, not a safe person. Don't come talk to me about where you're at. And that's not the message that we're here to send as a church, but also just as Jesus followers. I don't think people left feeling that way with Jesus. I think people left feeling very embraced by Jesus, even if it was just in passing. I really do believe that. Much like the outcome of being fully known and letting people fully know you, it's really difficult to be embraced if you don't let people embrace you. Have you ever hugged someone and you felt like you were hugging like a 2x4? Caden read over my notes yesterday and he's like, yeah, you should tell him how I hug you after work. Sometimes you just stand there. You're right. I'm not going to lie. That is a tendency sometimes. Like, yeah, good day. Nice to see you. And he's like, hello? So that is what it feels like when I don't let Caden fully embrace me. I'm not meeting him there. He can only hug me as much as I'm willing to be hugged and embraced. I got to work on that. Sorry, babe. But you can only, be embraced as much as you are willing to be. So while we work to be real with each other, to be open, to be honest, and ultimately work to reject the fear of rejection, we also need to work at embracing each other when we find others being real with us. And as Jesus would do, he'd meet people in their pain, he'd meet people in their shame, and he'd speak truth over them. He'd speak healing over them. And he would sit with uncomfortable questions and not meet it with fear. Not be like, oh, that's how your week was. It's like, wow, let's talk about that. Let's come back to it even. The heart of the Father is to see and to know and to have relationship and to embrace. It's weaved all throughout Scripture. Ultimately, meeting real people is really refreshing. I don't know. Is there anyone that's ever, they've been like, wow, that person was really refreshing? Yes, Caden, thank you. Thanks for that hand. Number one fan. I have walked away from conversations with people, and I haven't even really been able to pinpoint it. Well, it's got to be the Holy Spirit in them. That's what I always come back to. But there's something very real about people, and it kind of allows me to be real too. Even if in that conversation I wasn't, I walk away thinking, like, what was it about that person that I want to copy, really? What do they have in their life that they've tapped into that I want to take into my life? Because I want people to walk away feeling that way with me. We want to be a part of a community where we feel known and we feel seen. And as mentioned, even if you don't think you do, I think in Genesis, when God mentions it's not good for man to be alone or woman to be alone. There's this real deep need to be together, to be seen, to be heard. And we as humans thrive best in those places. This kind of community only exists when people are willing to be known and likewise are willing to embrace. It's a give and take kind of idea. Ultimately, we want to build this into our community, our DNA as a church, into our culture, into our shared commitments, into our shared values. When you walk in here, you are seeking people out to know them, and you are also ready to be known yourself. When we bring ourselves into a community and we're willing to be like, hey, this is who I really am, this is maybe what I'm struggling with, these are the joys that are happening in my life right now, this is what's actually going on inside of me. I'm not saying that it all has to be like, you know, all the bad things in your life, but I am saying that those are the areas that we would tend to omit because they maybe seem not as socially acceptable with those around us. It's very easy to be like, yeah, I got an A++ on this test, right? But it's a little bit harder to share the areas where you're like, I actually didn't even study for this test and I failed it, you know? For example, if you're taking any tests. We create space for the power of God to work through us by the Holy Spirit when we're showing up in that way. Be like, hey, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. We give ourselves space to be refined by those around us in community and for others to speak truth into areas where we can't see it ourselves and for others to call us higher because they actually see us differently than we might be seeing ourselves. Praise God for that. And again, I imagine that's what it was like to walk with Jesus. God will meet us in our realness. In 2 Corinthians, when Paul writes, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, I'm not saying that to be real, it always has to be the weak things you're sharing. I hope you feel comfortable and excited to come and share the joys of your life, the joys, the accomplishments, the things happening in your life. But when I talk about being real, oh wait, that's not where I was going with that. Sorry. Just being real, guys. But in this verse, Paul is speaking about how God's power is able to work best when he's just being real and honest that he is weak, that there are parts of himself that he would rather omit. There's probably a lot of things Paul would rather omit in his everyday conversations, as there are in my life. And what he's saying is, the places that you want to omit are actually the places that God can work through. God can work through many places, but he's saying that his power is ever more evident in these places, because how could it possibly be you? He's not saying that God's power works best once he kind of fixes himself or once he becomes like rejection proof, you know, once he figures out the right narrative to share his struggles through. It says that when we're weak, that we're strong by the Holy Spirit in us. So in this way, we can't boast in our own doing, but rather it's just really evident of what God is doing in our lives. And if we never let anybody see our weakness, then we may also be hiding the very place where God wants to show his power. So what if showing up and being real with those around you, even when you're really tempted to omit parts of yourself that might be rejected, it's the very thing that opens the door to you seeing God move very evidently in your life. And what if this is a contagious effect where others begin to experience the same thing? And all of a sudden, the areas where you feel really weak in, you're like, man, it's so good. So good to share this because God is working in this area. How can I pray for you? Well, honestly, this area. You know, let's see God work in those areas. And this isn't to say that God can't work in the areas where he so chooses, but it is to say that it becomes more evident to those around you. Choosing to be real with people doesn't just free you, but it also gives others permission to be real and to experience that freedom as well. Your honesty opens a door for people. Your vulnerability creates safety for people. And your transparency can give someone else courage to do the same thing and maybe experience freedom from things they've been experiencing for a really long time. And what would that look like if all of us began to experience that in our own lives, but only with each other? That makes sense. At the end of the day, as I mentioned, we can only be truly, fully, completely known by God himself. And that's a really beautiful thing. Because if you have ever walked away from conversations where you have felt exposed or you've exposed yourself, wondered why would I do that? There's such safety in the heart of the Father that at the end of the day, if you feel misunderstood or not known, he's ready to embrace. And he actually already knows you and can tell you who you are, which is so cool. In Psalm 139, it's a long psalm, so we're not going to read through it. But go ahead and read through it this week. The writer talks about being fully known by God, and he just is kind of talking about it. He realizes that God knows him completely. He realizes that he couldn't run from God, even if he tried to, and that he's met with love, not with rejection. He ends the psalm saying, "Search me, God, know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting." Literally opening his heart up and being like, I've just talked about for however many verses how I can't hide from you and how you know me, but continue to search my heart because I know that there's such joy in that, that there's nothing but good things that come from that when you let yourself be searched by God himself. That he will lead you in the way everlasting. And that's the posture of someone who's choosing to be real over somebody who's hiding. Know me. This is who I am. So, a few questions for you to ponder this week. We're not going to break out into groups today to talk about it, but perhaps bring them to your DNA group this week or next week. A few questions for you to think about. When you show up to church, in this place, or to your DNA group, or really to any other form of community, maybe even a family gathering, might I say it, are you being real with those around you? Do you feel that you're showing up and you're like, okay, I'm being real and honest with what's going on inside of me and how it's presenting kind of on the outside? What do you tend to omit about yourself? Or what's happening in your heart because you are afraid of rejection? What are the things that you know and you have maybe known for a while that you got to just be real with some people around you, but it's much more comfortable to omit these parts of yourself? What is it that God might want to do in your life if you choose to say yes to being real in your community? Could it be that you find healing? Or could it be that you find freedom from shame? Do you think that you could unintentionally be preventing someone else from opening up simply because you just haven't really taken the first step and opened up yourself? We are real as a culture code. It's not just something that we want to say, like, yeah, this is part of our code, you know, I know all the codes. But it's something that we actually really want to live. Because there's a lot of freedom in it, and there's a lot of joy in it when you choose to be real with people, and when you also choose to embrace people. It becomes this really beautiful ecosystem in a community where you show up with what you have, and you embrace what other people have, and you walk through life together. You can't walk through life hand in hand. But I wouldn't want to hold hands with someone I don't know. You know, it's hard to walk through life like that. So when we live it and when we choose to actually say yes to these shared commitments, we create space for God to move in our lives and in our community here, but in our community out there. in our families. We create space for God to move in us and through us and to experience his fullness in, as we mentioned, every life, every generation, every community. It opens up a door and a pathway for those things to be able to happen. So that is my message. And I'm going to close us with prayer today. And I hope that you take these things and you consider these things, you ponder these things, and maybe even challenge others around you. Maybe try to dig a little deeper with those around you this week. If people are having a hard time being real, maybe show the embrace before they show the realness. Maybe see what happens. So Lord, I thank you so much for your heart and for the heart of the Father, that we might be fully known and fully seen and fully embraced, God. We thank you that we can do that because you have first done it with us. Lord, I pray that we leave here today better and different and changed than how we walked in here today. And Lord, I pray for courage for each person here today, that you would ignite something in them, Lord, to be fully known. And that you would show us as a community how to fully embrace those around us. God, I pray today that we would take the meat and leave the bones of what was said. God, and that we experience your Holy Spirit in such tangible ways this week in our everyday lives, from work to school to family dinner. God, we praise you. We thank you for who you are, for the life of Jesus that leads us by example, God. Would you bless us all today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Just hearing about the heart of our Father, and in response, how that works in our relationships, as Amanda said so brilliantly, our God is a relational God. What? You know, when it talks about relationship, you know, you could look at all other religions. You could look at and search for all kinds of things. But the fact that Jesus came to be with us in relationship is so powerful. And when we, in turn, do the same, it is so powerful. And I think deep down we know that. It's just hard, especially when we've been hurt or burned or different things. But I just feel in my spirit just an invitation that we need to respond to. And in this pursuit of fullness of Jesus, as we look to become like him and do what he did as a church, that's the mission that we're on. I want to read a scripture just to close, and then we're going to respond in prayer. And actually, Dad, if I could invite you back up to do nothing else, just guitar, just in terms of our response. I just want to put it out there as well that if you have to go, it's all good. You can go. This is free response. We would love to pray with you. We would love to stand with you. And this comes from an account of Jesus in Luke 7 that I think summarizes everything that Amanda just spoke on. The heart of Jesus and what we're looking to become. And it says this in verse 38. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house. He took his place at the table. And there was a woman in that town who had lived a sinful life. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with a special jar of perfume. She stood behind Jesus and cried at his feet. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, and he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. He would know what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. And he said, "Two people owed money to a certain lender. One owed him 500 silver coins, the other owed him 50 silver coins. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he let them go without paying. Which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, "I suppose the one who owed the most money." "You're right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water to wash my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put any olive oil on my head, but she has poured this perfume on my feet. So I tell you this, her many sins are forgiven. She has shown that she understands this by her great acts of love. But whoever has been forgiven only a little loves only a little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to talk about this among themselves, and they said, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And if that is not an image of being real, and how Jesus, time and time again, children coming, disciples are like, "Hey, don't cause a disturbance. No, let the children come." Time and time again, a leopard, outcast coming. "No, come, healing." The worst of sin, the worst of sinners. What does Jesus do? He embraces. I love that imagery. And so today, I just feel in my heart to close in response. As Amanda said it so well, Jesus knows you. He knows you. And may we have the posture of that psalmist, "Search me, O God." Right? Find those wicked things in me and restore unto me my salvation. And so today, as we close, the invitation of Jesus is, "Come unto me. Come, follow me. Come." Let's be real with God, and I can guarantee you that's where the power is. Real, lasting, freeing power. So if you're able to stand, feel free to stand, and let's just close in prayer. And as we sing this song, let's take a moment to be real with God. One of our culture codes that we talked about, Casey did a brilliant job, is to make space. Let's make space in our hearts. Let's make space in this moment, in our time and in our day, to respond to the invitation today that Jesus is. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're carrying. He embraces you with everlasting love. So Lord Jesus, do what only you can do in this moment. As we become real with you and we lay our lives bare before you in our own hearts and in our own minds, in our own spirits, in our own souls. Lord, as we fix our gaze on you, God, do a deep, lasting work in us. Do what only you can do, Jesus.
I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me. Just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I sang another song. Take me back to where we started. Open up my heart. Sorry when I come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Put me back to where I started. Open up my heart to you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do, Lord. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Just want nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
That's the heart of the Father, even as we sing, there's nothing else that I want. I just want you. That's what Jesus is saying to you right now. I just actually want you. I want relationship with you. You. And It's not about religion. It's not about doing all the right stuff. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short. It is about relationship. And in that relationship, He makes us whole. So the invitation today is to come and receive the fullness of Jesus and His salvation and allow Him to do a deep work in your life. And He will. He will do it. He is faithful to complete it. So if you don't know Jesus here this morning, and you feel something stirring in your heart, when the Bible talks about being born again, that is our spirits becoming alive to spiritual things. And that's the stirring that happens when Jesus comes and He is real and you are real with Him. And it's simple. It says in the Word of God, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, He is God, and that He has died and rose again, forgiveness of sins. That's it. Confessing with your mouth, being real of our need for God, and He comes and does only something that God can do alone, is restoring right relationship with Him. Powerful. So let's just together, let's say this together. I think it's a good response. I'm sorry for the things that I've forgotten. I'm sorry when I've gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I've just sang another song. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that You're enough. Take me back to where it started. I open my heart to You. Forgive me, Father, of my sins, and come into my life as Lord of all. If you need help, that's what community is about, right, Amanda? You said it best in terms of us being real with one another. We'd be happy to pray for you and stand with you and pray with you. We can use that back corner where Caden's standing at the moment. That's a perfect place if you want to receive prayer and just need some encouragement that comes with community. We'd love to stand with you. Is God not a good God? He is real. As we are real, it becomes that much clearer. Linz, why don't you come up and just tell us what's happening coming up?